We come up now to the gospel. Jerusalem is located at the top of the hill. Everything goes up to Jerusalem must come down. That's how the gospel is. Everything comes up to the high point of our worship service, and that is when we share the word. People's Community Church is a church of the word. I call your attention this morning to the gospel according to John. Those of you that have your Bibles, we would look at the third chapter of the gospel according to John that was read in our praise and worship service in our opening session this morning. And while we have our members standing, would you all stand, those of you that can stand, and those of you that have your Bibles. And first, we would like for all our members, those of you that are not members, you can look at the back of our program and you can see our mission statement. But we don't want any of our members looking at the back to read the mission statement. Our members know it by heart. So let us all quote our mission statement. The mission of People's Community Church is to disciple the church and the unchurch through biblical preaching, teaching, and outreach ministry that will help to heal the hurting. Amen. Every ministry, everything that we do at People's Community Church must come by the rubric of helping to heal the hurting. Amen. I call your attention to the Gospel of John. Those of you that have your Bibles, the third chapter, it has been read in its entirety, but the verse that my argument is centered around is verse number 6. And you'll find these words: that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. We would like to use for a theme this morning, life from heaven. Yes. Life from heaven. You may be seated. You may be seated. In our lesson text this morning, that first verse, it says, "And there was a man of the Pharisees, and his name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." And that second verse says, "And he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, that come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." When we look at life from heaven, we have to look at the difference between the Apostle Peter that we find in the Bible in Luke chapter 2 and the Apostle Peter we find on the day of Pentecost. The first Peter that we find in Luke chapter 22 is cursing Jesus and denying him. But the Peter that we find on the day of Pentecost is preaching the gospel with boldness. Now we want to ask you the question, and I'm glad that you're here. What is the difference? What is the difference between a marriage that fails in the first year and a marriage that make it through 50 years? Think about it. What is the difference between we have twin brothers, one of them become an outstanding person in the community and in the church, and another one becomes a drug addict who's in and out of jail? There is a golden thread that runs through life that gives one the gumption to go ahead. So today we want to talk about that golden thread. Today I would teach that God sent his son that we may have life and that we may have life more abundantly. But the abundant life is a spirit feel life. And that's the thing that we have to look at. When we look at our lesson text, it says, there was a man that was named Nicodemus. And they say Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and he was a Pharisee. Now, I want you to pay strict attention to this term Pharisees, because The Pharisees were a set of Jews that had a lot of authority. They were the chief interpreters of Scripture. But we say that Nicodemus was a ruler of the Pharisees. That meant that he held a high position. When we look at this issue with the Pharisees, Antiochus, when we look at how they led and they tried to take away the faithfulness of the Jews, we see that one of the leaders in Palestine, Antiochus Faithicus, when he was a ruler in Palestine, he was one of the rulers of Palestine, and he led this revolution that tried to keep the Jews and tried to make them lose their faithfulness. But the Pharisees were the party that stayed firm with Antiochus leading them against the Jews. But the Pharisees, by them standing firm and keeping firm, they were the ones that were able to lead the Jewish people back to their faith. But when we see the Jews rallying around the Pharisees, and the Pharisees came to be more popular than the Sadducees or the Zealots, but the Pharisees, after their victory, is like some of us. They got caught up in the paralysis of analysis. They got caught up in the rituals of things. And when they got caught up in the rituals of things, they lost focus as to what God would have them to do. They said they had all these rituals that they were looking at, monitoring, and they forgot about doing the things of God. They had this Sabbath day laws. A woman should not look into the mirror on the Sabbath day, because if she would see a gray hair, she would want to pluck it out, and that would be work. So they said no women could look in the mirror on the Sabbath day. And they said that if you had a sore throat, you could drink vinegar, but you couldn't gargle it, because if you gargle it, that would be work. So then they said that also that one could eat an egg on the Sabbath day, but you have to be very careful, because you couldn't really eat that egg, because if you did, you may would have to kill the hen. So they had all of these ridiculous rules that the Pharisees had to enforce, because they got caught up in the paralysis of analysis. But the biggest problem they got caught up in was salvation by works. Mm-hmm. So now, when Antiochus led this revolution against the Jews, and we see here that the Pharisees were able to resist that. But now we see here that the Pharisees are very popular in all of these rules that they have. But now we have one of the leaders of the Pharisees, and they say that his name was Nicodemus, and they say Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Now, there are a lot of schools of thought as to why Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Some say that Nicodemus wanted to catch Jesus at a time when he could really have a conversation with him. Some scholars say he came to Jesus by night because he didn't want any of the other Pharisees to see him having a conversation with Jesus. But you know, there's a lot of school of thought that as to the reason that Nicodemus came to Jesus. But I just want to share with you one thing that had to happen in order for Nicodemus to come to Jesus. And there still seems to be a problem on the contemporary scene when we try to deal with life on life's term. You see, the Bible says that Nicodemus was a master teacher. In other words, Nicodemus was the man in Jerusalem as to interpret the scripture. He taught the law. Nicodemus was the teacher that everybody looked to, but there had something had happened with Nicodemus. Nicodemus saw Jesus feed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves. Nicodemus saw Jesus when the woman in Nam was on the way to the grave with her son. Nicodemus saw Jesus touch the river and tell the dead boy to go back home to his mother. Nicodemus saw Jesus when he was going down Jericho Road and blind Bartimaeus was sitting there born blind. Nicodemus saw Jesus call Bartimaeus over to him. After all the people around Bartimaeus told him to shut up, Jesus called Bartimaeus to him and gave Bartimaeus his sight. So Nicodemus said, now I'm a master teacher, but you know, there's something that this Jesus has that I don't have. I can explain the scripture. I can teach the law. But you see, all my teaching comes from the head and not the heart. You have to watch people in the church that teach from the head and not from the heart. They'll hurt you. But one thing that Nicodemus had to get over, and that was pride. You see, in order for Nicodemus to go to Jesus, being this master teacher and wanting to learn something, he had to go to Jesus. And you see, he didn't become an antagonist like the rest of the Pharisees. He didn't follow Jesus around trying to trap him, trying to catch him in some frivolous act or healing somebody on the Sabbath. But you know, I told you about all these Sabbath day things. You can't heal them on the Sabbath. But Nicodemus said, listen, first I got to give up this pride. If you don't mind, let me park for a minute on this issue of pride. You see, pride is the things that you are so satisfied with that you have accomplished that makes you think that you are better than other people. And sometimes we don't want to give up our pride if we see somebody doing something or somebody tells us something. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God gives strength to the humble, but God set himself against the proud. So we see here that this issue of pride, God's grace is greater than the power of sin. The humble is defined as a close relationship. It's saying that some Christians may be humble, but the thing is that all believers should have a humble spirit when we approach God. And then there is one of my favorite verses that's in Proverbs 13:10. It says, only, hallelujah, only by pride comes contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Now this says, by pride comes contention. What this means is that every argument in your house, every argument that you may have with a relative or with somebody in the church, it says only by pride. Can't come no other way. Somebody say, I'm right and you wrong. It's only God is right. Only by pride. Only. Man, you know how it is when you driving and your wife say you're going the wrong way. Honey, I got this. Only by pride comes an argument. Only by pride comes a disagreement. So Nicodemus was not going to get caught up in this pride. Nicodemus say, I'm going to go to Jesus, but I'm going to go to him for whatever reason at night. I'm going to go to Jesus at night because I'm not going to become an adversary like the rest of these Pharisees that following Jesus around. You see, and once you give up that pride, you can come to a person and say, you know, there's something wrong we need to talk about. Like Jesus, like Nicodemus did. Am I right about it? You know, you can come to a person and say, you know, there's something I disagree with, but let's talk about it. Like Nicodemus say, I've seen you do some things, but there's some things that I need to talk to you about, Jesus. He didn't go into the antagonistic thing. And now we done got so bold. We don't even want to talk to folks. We sent him an email. Good thing. See, Nicodemus didn't send Jesus an email. Am I right about it? You can't get people to talk to you in the church. They just send you an email. I'm through. And let me say something. That is a coward's way out. Sitting at home sending emails because you don't want to face nobody. Email didn't put you there. So why are you trying to get out of it with an email? So now that's pride. But see, Nicodemus didn't get caught up in that pride. Yeah. All right. So Nicodemus went to Jesus at night. And then it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi. He came to Jesus and called him a master. See, he's coming to Jesus, giving him the proper names and everything because he realized that Jesus is a master teacher. But he also realized that Jesus comes from God. But he doesn't know how to do it. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God is with him. A miracle is when God intervenes in the natural order of things for the sake of the believer. God only works miracles for believers. You know, if a person has a kind of cancer that most folks die with and it's in the progression. But you see, God has the power to intervene and stop the progression and heal the person. But God does this for the sake of the believer. You know, when I come to the hospital to see you, I'm coming in faith. I'm coming to pray the prayer of faith. If you don't believe that God can heal, don't call Pastor Shannon. I'm coming to lay hands on you because God said we had the power to speak to the mountains and the mountains to say be removed. I come to speak directly to that disease, to that cancer, to whatever it is and ask it to be removed in the name of Jesus. And if you had the faith to do that, you wouldn't even have to call me. Because the Bible says we have the faith. Now we see that Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he realizes that Jesus has something that he needs. Now in that third verse it says, and Jesus answered him and said, now he hasn't even asked Jesus a question yet. You follow me? He has a question, but Jesus looks at his heart. Jesus looks directly at his heart and what his question is all about. Nicodemus never got to the main thing or the main thing that brought him to Jesus at midnight. And Jesus answered and said unto him. Because see, Jesus remember when the young ruler came to him. You remember that back in Matthew where the young ruler came to Jesus talking about eternal life. And Nicodemus is really coming for the same thing. Now we got the young ruler, but now we got the old ruler. Are y'all with me? That's coming to Jesus. And Nicodemus says, verily, verily, amen, amen. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Now, Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Jesus looks at his heart, not even allowing him to ask a question. And Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom. Now, being a master teacher, the Jews understood that they were waiting to become part of the kingdom. Matter of fact, they thought they were already in the kingdom. But you know, Jesus would let Nicodemus know, and we see in Isaiah it says only a remnant of the Jews were going to be saved. But see, Nicodemus, they read all that, but they had no understanding of the word of God. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Jesus looks at him. He come talking about he know Jesus is from God and all of this, and Jesus said, you must be born again. Now let me tell you something about this born again. You see, when we confess, when we make our confession, we agree with God. You don't mind me having a teaching moment here, do you? I'm just going to teach for a moment, if you don't mind. He say, listen, when we make our confession, when we believe that Jesus is the Christ and God raised him from the dead, it didn't say nothing about being baptized. It didn't say nothing about speaking in tongues. It didn't say nothing about washing feet. It said, if you believe in Romans 10:9, it says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ and God raised him from the dead, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you can be saved. At the point of your confession, your desires change. You no longer desire the things of the world, because what has happened to you, let me explain to you what has happened to you when you make that confession. You see, you got the flesh, you got the soul, and you got the spirit. Man is a three-part. So when we make that confession, God indwells us with his spirit. It's God's spirit that's put in us. The flesh and the soul stays the same. The soul is man's intellect. The flesh is our worldly desires, and all of these things stay the same. But you see, when we confess Christ, Christ indwells us with his spirit. Now, he indwells us with his spirit, but on a day-to-day basis, he keeps filling us, refreshing us. So when we make that confession, but now being saved is a process. And you see, this spirit man has to become strong enough to dominate our intellect, our soul. And when our spirit dominates our intellect, our soul, is what we read, what we think. And that's why so many scriptures is in the Bible that's talking about your mind. Let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. And say we have to renew our mind on a day-to-day basis. So what we have to do is allow this intellect to line up with the spirit man, and then we become strong in the word. But if we allow our intellect to keep on lining up with the flesh, we will never become nothing but a carnal Christian with the spirit of God in us that's being quenched because we have not prepared ourselves. Let me make it plain to you, because see, this being saved is a process. You all computer literate people, if you get a computer with all the gigabytes and everything else, and you take it home and you put it up in your study, but you don't know how to use it. You can have it there. It's going to become just a whole piece of furniture if you don't know how to use it. But you have to be taught how to use the computer. You have to be taught. But if you are never taught, see, too many people are caught but not taught when it comes to the word of God. You have to be able to be taught and to be strong, so that spirit man will come up in you, and that spirit man will be strong in you. So that's why we have Bible study and all of these kind of things, Sunday school, to teach you how to become victorious in the spirit. So that spirit man could line up with the intellectual man, and you can be a strong person in the word of God. We have too many Christians that have never been discipled. Y'all can write this down. Too many Christians, too many people in the church that call themselves Christians, but they were disciples before they were called Christians. The first time they were called Christians in Antioch, but they were disciples first. Disciple means teach. Disciple means train. Disciple means bring them up. We have to train people, and then they become Christians. But too many people have become Christians and never been disciples. So that's why we come back to our lesson text. That's why we come back here, and Nicodemus does not understand. He still thinks about trying to keep all the laws, trying to do everything, and you know, trying to keep all these laws, and you know, we had given them the Ten Commandments, but when they went into exile, they decided to form 613 more laws. I read some of them to you, that they tried to keep every day. God loves for you to come to church. It says, don't forsake the assembly. He loves for you to give your tithes. But let me tell you something. You could sleep here at this church, but if you ain't been born again, it won't do you no good. It won't do you no good. There's a man that walked by my house every morning religiously. You can set your watch at 7:30. He's going by. See, there are a lot of religious folk, but they ain't saved. Oh, y'all might have quiet on me this morning. And then, on this fourth verse, and Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? I told you, Nicodemus is the old ruler. The young ruler, well, I told you, he came to Jesus, but now we're talking about the old ruler. Nicodemus is saying, now, I'm trying to understand this thing. But you see, that's why we keep trying to talk to folk. You see, ungodly people cannot do godly things. Am I right about it? I keep telling the members of our church, we're trying to talk to ungodly people about tithing and coming to church on. You cannot get ungodly people to do godly things. You can only, first you do, and when I do counseling and people be on drugs, you know, I've counseled people with all kind of issues, but first you got to get them to be godly. You can't do nothing with a person that's on drugs, as marriage is break. You got to first get them to be godly. And when they become godly, they can do godly things. But we waste all this time in the church trying to get ungodly folk to do godly things. It just won't happen. And they're not going to like you because they just don't like you. So anyway, Nicodemus is trying to understand biblical issues on a carnal, secular man. He's asking his questions. I'm talking about how can a man, old man, how can a man be born when he's old? How can a man be born? What are you talking about? Just like the Pharisees when Jesus said that the Son of Man came to set you free, they say, we ain't never been in jail. Nicodemus said unto them, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, this is secular talking. And you know, that's why we try to talk to people in the church about doing things that are godly and attending church regularly and giving as God has given to them and blessing God as God has. No. Oh, I got to pay my cell phone bill. I ain't got no time to get no money to no church. Talking about giving so much of a percent of tithes and offering and no, giving gifts and supporting the church. And if the church is going to be the greatest institution in the world, then we ought to support it. Am I right about it? Yeah. And they come to me and say, Pastor Shannon, the people on my job don't care nothing about me. I'm going to leave that job. I said, I ain't supposed to care about you. They're there to make widgets. But when you come in here and they don't love you, we got a problem. Because the church has been ordained to carry out the love of God, and the government has been ordained to carry out the justice of God. Are y'all with me? And then that fourth verse, and Nicodemus started talking to Jesus about all this literal. And we keep on trying to talk to people, and they don't have the Spirit of God. If they don't have the Spirit of God, they won't understand the things of God. And Jesus answered and said unto him again. Jesus only had one answer for Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This water and this Spirit is the same thing. You know, theologians and scholars, right? But it's the same thing. It's just like Jesus said, sometimes we baptize you with fire. He said, the water and the Spirit, you got to be baptized. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's not talking about the baptism. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming into indwelling you, changing the things that you desire. Changing the things that you desire. See, you can take a pig out of a pig pen and dress him up and put him on a white tuxedo and put him in a white limousine, Brother Brown, and go by a pig pen. If his desire has not changed, he's going back into the pig pen. I know them guys that you met at Chick Rick's and all them places y'all go, don't tell the pastor. Where y'all go? Y'all ain't gonna tell me. I know. Friday nights. The guy say, I love you. As long as a bug go around the stump, you will continue to be my sugar love. Conditional, not unconditional, but conditional. And I just got one thing, and I'm gonna leave that one alone. But if you don't love God, he won't love you. We talked about the golden thread. That's the Spirit of God that goes through the family. I can talk to you about that because I got 47 years of marriage. I'm not a novice. I can let you know what it takes. What it takes to love your wife like God loves the church. What it takes to grow your children up in subjection as to what you are doing. Hallelujah, church. Born from above. Jesus says, except a man is born again. And then it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. If you're not in the church, if you're born in the flesh, you're going to continue to be in the flesh. Now, let me just back up and tell you one thing here, is that the flesh, wake up and write this down, the flesh cannot be converted. I want you to understand that. The desires that you had in the flesh, unless you build up the spiritual man in you, you will continue to have those desires. You know I'm right. When Michael Jackson starts out with Billie Jean, your feet start patting. Because you got the flesh. The flesh cannot be converted. And that's what it's saying. What's born of the flesh is going to be flesh. But you got to be born again. I know that pretty baby that comes into the world, he's born and shaped in iniquity. And that child, in order for him to enter the kingdom of God, he's got to be born again. As the story goes, and this is my signature story. There was a farmer. He found a strange egg on the yard. Hallelujah. It was a big egg. It didn't look like none of the other eggs he had ever seen before. He said, what am I going to do with this big egg? He carried it back to the shed. This farmer didn't do nothing but raise ducks. He carried it back, and he said, now we got to figure out a way of having this egg to hatch. He went and had the ducks to sit on the egg to get it warm. But when he had the ducks to sit on the egg to get it warm, and eventually the egg hatched. And out of the egg came a strange-looking bird. He didn't look like the rest of the ducks that was on the yard because he had webbed feet. But he had no point of reference. So since he had no point of reference, he took on the whole environment that was around him. He had webbed feet, but he wobbled like the ducks. He had webbed feet, but he started quacking like the ducks. He swam in the muddy pond with the ducks. He ate so much of the duck stuff that they had, he started looking like a duck. This boy was in duckdom and didn't know where he ought to be. But one day, hallelujah, one day as he was swimming in the muddy pond, as he was eating the duckdom, and as he was wobbling like the rest of the duck, there was a bird that came down from the sky. The bird didn't hit the earth, but he came down low enough to let that bird see. The bird say, listen, I've been swimming in the muddy pond. I've seen my reflection in the dirty water, and there's something about that bird that looks like me. He said he got so messed up, he had to go and lose some weight. He said, I got to lose some weight because that bird that came down from the sky upset me so much that I had to stop eating. I had to stop wobbling. I had to stop doing the things that they do in the muddy pond. Another week, that same bird came down to the earth. And I tell you that ugly duckling that was in the yard decided to stop eating, and he had lost a little weight. And when that bird came close up to him, he started running back, and he started flying behind that eagle. And he started flying behind that eagle, and that eagle just soared up to the mountaintops. And then all of a sudden, that ugly duckling came back, and he flew over that farm, and he flew over that muddy pond, and he said, thank you for my yesterdays. Thank you for taking me in when nobody else could take me in. But I don't belong in the muddy pond. I was made for the mountaintop. I'm here to tell you, young men, you wasn't made to be in no crack house. You wasn't made to be on no street corner. You were made for the mountaintop. Get out of the muddy pond. Stop hanging around with the ducks. Start flying with the eagles. You was made to fly with the eagles. Come on now and take your rightful place in God's house. I want you to understand that. Stop wobbling. Stop quacking. You wasn't made to be there. I want you to understand something. The Jews started mumbling in the wilderness. They got tired of eating the food that God had given them. They started mumbling to Moses and to God. And then God sent a serpent, and God said, that serpent going to bite you and you're going to die. And they started dying, and they went back to Moses and said, Moses, we're going to die. This poison serpent, and God told Moses, say, pick up the rod. Put a gold serpent on the rod and help them to look at the rod. And when they look at the rod, they'll come back to life. He said, hold up the pole. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up. Hallelujah. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'll change you. I'll change your life. You will be born from above. You'll have God's spirit in you. You'll be born from above. Are you out there this morning? Hallelujah. You can be born from above this morning. You got a life in heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. I don't care what they call you down here, but if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can become a saint. You can become a saint. You can do godly things. You can do righteous things when you become a godly person. I don't care how bad you've messed up. I don't care how far you have fallen. You have not fallen out of the hand reach of God. Are you out there?